The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our program. Together, we welcome you to the merry month of May. It is Tuesday, May Day, May 1st, 2018, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, that is AM 1030, KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, there's 24/7 live listening at KVOI.com, along with all of the Buckmaster shows archived at BuckmasterShow.com, 790-2040. If there's any, if you would like to join us at any time during the hour, please feel free to do so. Let's go now to the nation's capital, where I understand it is a delightful day. Terry Bracey is with us. Terry is the Buckmaster Show expert on Washington, D.C. and governmental affairs. My goodness, he's had such a great career that's still going strong, a long and distinguished career that began as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents the city of Tucson, one of their clients, and Pima Community College. Terry, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I understand it's a real nice day there, a good day for baseball.
You know, we're having our our spring here usually lasts about 15 minutes. And we're having a beautiful spring day today, but it'll be 95 by Friday, I take it.
How are the Nats doing?
They're struggling. Three of their best players have been out with injuries, and more than half of their infield. We have a bunch of minor league players who are doing their very game and trying to, you know, keep us above water, but it's really tough. You know, when teams like the Diamondbacks come to town, the Diamondbacks are the best baseball team I've seen this year.
Wow.
I think they're, you know, they beat us 2 out of 3 at home, which is hard to do. But if you go right down their lineup, I mean, they are really stacked, and they have some really good pitching. I'm totally impressed by the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, they have not lost a series this season, unlike my Chicago Cubs, who are struggling in a very difficult division, the Pirates, the Cards, the Redbirds playing good baseball, and the Brewers. So all good teams.
Well, they are. It's going to be a very competitive year, and I look forward to talking about it with you.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that you know, may be a fun summer for baseball, but it wasn't fun listening to the clips that I heard. I did not hear the whole thing, and I'm glad I didn't, with comedian Michelle Wolf, who was the featured speaker at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. What's the reaction been like to this?
Well, you know, I have to say that I wasn't there, wasn't invited this year.
Huh.
Frankly, yeah, I've lost my whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, I've sort of lost interest also in these dinners. I've been to all of them, Gridiron and so on, which I like the most. But, you know, this is a really important thing in Washington to have the government and the press and others talking to each other. But this one was really pretty bad. And I just think that these Washington dinners have become so pretentious. They sort of lost me when they put in the red carpet and started acting like this was Oscar night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they say Washington is Hollywood for ugly people. But I read the coverage and talked to some people who were there. Some like Michelle, most didn't. We used to have a golden rule guiding humor in these occasions, and it was singe, but don't burn.
Yeah.
Mm. These days, they start with fire and move on to explosives.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Is this kind of a reflection of what is such an angry, dysfunctional town right now?
I think it is. I hate to play amateur psychiatrist, but it's certainly part of it. I think it all began, really, in 1995 with Newt Gingrich when he became Speaker, and he declared that politics was no longer just a competition, politics was war.
Huh.
And he used the television system in the House as a weapon, attacking opponents with what they claimed were wild exaggerations and downright lies. The response to that was just as harsh, forever escalating. The rules of debate and decorum were abandoned at times altogether.
And then you have cable TV and, of course, social media and the contribution that has made to the somewhat angry arena.
Well, think about this. When President Reagan ran in 1980, the country watched three channels, or three networks, NBC, yep, CBS, and ABC. The news was delivered roughly in the same way from four sources, although slightly different angles. When cable arrived and the partisan billionaires bought up stations, the American audience was sliced into many tribes, in effect. Fox News and MSNBC, for example, became tribal news organizations for conservatives and liberals. And in delivering their versions of the news, these cable networks were not above shading the truth, which I think is a major contributor to our social chaos.
And another major contributor, certainly the new social media, the blogging, which in some cases, let's face it, the new social media does spread lies and conspiracies.
Yeah, for all the good it does, this is a big problem. The social media is simply a new age version, Bill, of the telegraph, the telephone, and so on. And it gives users the ability to be better and more cheaply in contact with the world. For all the good it does, it opens the door for kind of modern grifters to go into business on the web. And in this political era, it has the ability to destroy a candidate or a government official in a day's time.
Terry, let's move on to another subject, the relationship with North Korea and China. Are you optimistic about what you are hearing?
Well, we'll know a lot in the next 2 weeks. China's trade negotiations are beginning this week, and it's clear on many issues the U.S. and China disagree. For example, President Trump sees and focuses on a $300 billion trade imbalance with China and is demanding that the Chinese cut it by one-third, $100 billion, immediately. And that's just for starters. The Chinese they feel that they're an economic power now equal to us, and their new president, Xi Jinping, who needs to look strong, may not want to play ball. So I don't know there.
Well, then you've got with North Korea. Who knows what's going to happen with that?
Well, that's above my pay grade, really. I mean, the interesting thing to me is Kim Jong-il has already had extensive negotiations with the South Koreans, maybe so that they will get credit for a breakthrough if one occurs. You know, Bill, I myself have to tip my hat to our president, whose rage at North Korea and their leader seems for now to have paid off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we will know. We still don't know, do we, Terry, where this this meeting with the North Korean leader and President Trump is going to happen, do we?
No, we do not. And unfortunately, I think the announcement of a meeting without, you know, the normal protocols that you go through, you establish an agenda, you have pre-meetings with cabinet and sub-cabinet officials of both nations, and you really work out and filter through to the key questions that the two leaders have to focus on. Now we've got, you know, the announcement of a meeting, which is good, I think, but none of the work has been done, and now they're catching up. So we don't know how long it's going to take to get this together, but I'm I'm looking forward to some movement in this area. It's very dangerous.
All right, Terry Bracey, we will let you go, and I appreciate you giving us the time. It's always a pleasure. You're really one of the key. We have such a great lineup of contributors. You're one of our key contributors. We have, if folks don't know, they can see all of the bios of over 24 wonderful, knowledgeable people who contribute to this program, and I just want to pay a quick tribute to you, Terry. Thank you for all you do for us.
Oh, Bill, it's a pleasure, and it gives me a way to share what little knowledge I have with the people of Tucson, and those are the people who really gave me my start in life, and so I'm thrilled to have a chance to share something with them.
Terry, have a great afternoon and a great week. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Terry Bracey with us from Washington, D.C. All right, it is lunchtime. What about Mona's? Oh, my goodness. Mona's, my favorite bakery in town. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, and we continue to send new folks up to Mona's. They're located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I've had more people say, I want to try one of these Danish Kringles. What are they all about? Well, find out. Go up to Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. You can find out all about the bakery, and the website will make your mouth water for those wonderful bakery goods. Go to buckmastershow.com. There's a link to Mona's and all of our fine sponsors. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up on Wednesday during the noon hour, we'll talk with University of Arizona President Dr. Robert Robbins. Also, State Senator Steve Smith with an update on the state budget. That and more during the noon hour on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman, who is wrapping up his wonderful journey to southern Italy, still with us, still in Italy, and he's with us now from Italy, where it is 9:20 in the evening. Shelley, you had a wonderful holiday, I'm sure.
This has been a magnificent holiday, Bill. Been remarkable in so many ways. So many things I learned, so many things to learn about the economy of what's called the Mezzogiorno, the middle part and the southern part of Italy. And some of those things are quite alarming, and some of those things are quite beautiful and I can't tell you how glad I am to have been here and to have had essentially a whole month here. By the way, not one measurable drop of rain in that entire month.
Oh, my goodness. Are they having a drought there?
Well, it's actually kind of May weather rather than April weather. You know, April weather now comes in March.
Right, of course. Yeah. Well, that's all over the globe. The climate is changing. Mm-hmm. Shelley, it is Tuesday, and I'll tell you, the market is acting very strange, as it always seems to do during our time together on Tuesday. This market, Shelley, seems to be looking for an excuse for bad news, no matter what it is, to move the market south.
Well, I think the market is looking for some excuse to do something meaningful, and it's not finding any real strong directional arrows. And so we get this kind of volatility. We get it up a couple of hundred points one day and then down a couple of hundred points the next. Since the beginning of the year, we're relatively flat, down a little bit. Today we're down, last time I checked a couple of minutes ago, about 130 points on the Dow. The other indices have turned positive, but even at 130 points down, that's up from the lower points earlier this morning. So we'll see where the market takes us today. What we're seeing is some encouraging words from the Fed and from those who track the Fed about the Fed's ability to keep inflation under control, and therefore the Fed's reluctance to raise interest rates in a way that would be alarming to the markets.
The gross national product, the GDP growth over the next few years, there have been some forecasts in the last couple of days. Shelley, where are we on all of that, in your opinion?
Well, the last figure we got was last week, and it showed that an annualized growth rate in the first quarter was 2.3%. That was lower than the administration would like to have had it, and maybe even a little bit lower than the consensus of many economists. What happens with first quarter forecasts, or with first quarter results, very often is they get adjusted for seasonal changes, and they get adjusted up a bit. The question is, what are we going to see for the rest of the year? The administration would like to see 3% or in the area of 3%. That would begin to justify some of the tax cuts and begin to pay for some of the shortages in the revenues that would accrue to those tax cuts or from those tax cuts. The consensus of most economists is we're going to see a GDP growth for the year. It's more in the range of about 2.5%. That would be below the administration's forecasts, and would be much more in line with what we've seen for the past 8 or 9 years. There's been no fundamental changes to the economy. Well, I shouldn't say that. There have been some fundamental changes, but they've been countervailing. So we had tax cuts. We've got some potential tariffs. The balance is that what we're seeing is slightly upward movement in the GDP as a result of the tax cuts. But most economists feel that those things are going to wear themselves out by the end of the year. So we could have a fairly decent year, 2.5, 2.6% for the year, and then back down to the 2.1, 2.2% that has been the average for, well, the past, since the Great Recession.
What are you telling your clients, the investors, about how to evaluate that potential for growth, Shelley, over the next few years?
Well, that's exactly the most important question, and I'm gonna give you the view of two different writers over the past week. The first is Ivan Markev, who was writing last week and talked about the likelihood that once the drama of the Trump administration fades to a more normal day-to-day kind of routine government governing. That the theory of reflexivity, which is the George Soros basis of what you and I have talked about many times, that markets are not rational, they are in fact non-rational, that what will happen is that the perceptions of reality and the perceptions of non-rational thinking will begin to come together, and that will cause the market to react more to traditional economic news about how companies are doing, and that should work well for the markets. That would be really good if it happened. A couple of days later in the same publication, there was an interview with Scott Minard, who's the chairman of Guggenheim Investments, and he said, the Fed's going to need to continue to raise rates. That's going to continue to cause turmoil. Corporate debt is going to become more expensive. And when he looks at the numbers, because he's a numbers kind of guy, he sees the kind of indications that we always see 2 years before a recession. And so he says that high-yield debt and high-yield debt funds are going to be the most vulnerable. He would lighten up on high-yield debt. He would expect a recession sometime in 2020. That could bring a 40% drop in the markets before it turned around and started to recover. That, by the way, is not unusual for recession. So what we're seeing is headwinds and tailwinds, and we're seeing people who make their living trying to determine what those tailwinds and headwinds really, really mean with very diverse views on how this is all going to turn out. What I see, quite frankly, is nothing fundamentally different about this market than what we've seen since the recovery started. And therefore, I don't see signs of a recession, though we are in year nine of a recovery, and recoveries don't normally last this long. So having taken both sides of the question, rather than give you a long-term forecast, Bill, what I'd like to do is talk about the rest of the year. I think the rest of the year is going to be moderately positive, somewhere in the 2.5% GDP range, which should give us a result on the Dow somewhere in the low single digits. We're below that now, well below that now. But I think we could wind up in the 25,000-25,500 range.
Shelley, the long trip home begins for you tomorrow, and we want to wish you a very safe journey. And I know, as you mentioned in your remarks at the beginning, this has been just a wonderful month, and we do appreciate you sharing a portion of your trip with us. Thank you, Shelley.
Have a great week, and I look forward to chatting about this trip next week live in the studio.
I look forward to it as well. Shelley Fishman, thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
29 minutes now past noon, and some exciting news from Green Things, our favorite nursery here in town, and Zocalo. Zocalo, located at 2924 East Broadway, near the corner of Country Club and Broadway, Zocalo is moving soon to a new location on 13 acres at Green Things, their site on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, with all the great Zocalo merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and some from Europe. Right now, take advantage of great pre-move sale items at Zocalo near the corner of Country Club and Broadway. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Experience one of the most powerful stories of the 20th century, The Diary of Anne Frank, live on stage at the Temple of Music and Art. Don't miss this true story of a young girl and her family's struggle for survival against the inhumanity of the Nazi regime. A story of faith, hope, and belief in the goodness of humanity. A haunting adaptation of the original Pulitzer Prize award-winning play based on Anne Frank's diary. Arizona Theater Company's The Diary of Anne Frank, April 21st through May 12th. Tickets are at arizonatheater.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a good midweek getaway. It's just a three-hour drive to a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. It's that southwest corner of New Mexico. Explore historic Silver City. Just hang out in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the great places to stay and the many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Time for our monthly segment. We call it Your Meds. This is your opportunity to take control of your health care. If you have any questions during our segment with Dr. Ray Woosley, 790-2040. Dr. Woosley is the former UA College of Medicine Dean. He is the founder and now president emeritus of the very successful Tucson-based Critical Path Institute known as CPATH, Dr. Woosley's latest invention, something to really help consumers. It's called Credible Meds, and their website, crediblemeds.org, is visited by folks from 180 countries, 2,000 of them every day. Check it out, crediblemeds.org. How are you, Dr. Woosley?
I'm good, Bill. Good to be here.
I always enjoy reading the New York Times, the health section on Tuesday, something very interesting, especially since I have a dental appointment right after the show today to get a crown fitted. So hopefully that won't be as a difficult situation as getting the crowns set up a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly.
But anyway, the article is that dental pain, skip the opioids. Apparently, they've done some research, and good old ibuprofen, Tylenol, and like Advil, and then Tylenol can do the trick.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, we're just now finding out. We've assumed, and I don't know how many times I've been to the dentist and left with a prescription for Vicodin.
For a week.
10 days of Vicodin. My gosh. Thankfully, I didn't take it. I usually don't take medicines like most people. But
yeah.
It's really remarkable how well the old tried and true ibuprofen, which, you know, it's over 70 years old, and it's still one of the best medicines around. And acetaminophen is over 150 years old, Tylenol.
Oh, my goodness.
So these are old medicines that we can use instead of opiates and don't run the risk of addiction, don't run the constipation, the other serious side effects. That was the other thing this article, as you pointed out. Not only do they work better, they actually have fewer side effects than opiates.
Wow. And the whole thing with opioids, as we've talked about before, it kind of took off as being like the drug of choice for pain relief. And that was really based on a lot of misinformation.
Oh, yeah. And it's
and hype.
People are going to go to jail
and
over
hype.
This.
Yeah.
And they should, because they took a single paragraph in a medical journal about somebody's bias and use that as if it were a scientific study to promote, to say that opiates aren't addictive. My gosh, we've known for centuries that opiates are addictive. I don't know how we were hoodwinked into this, but a lot of companies made billions of dollars, and now they're being asked to pay back some of that in lawsuits.
You know, you're talking about money. Americans spend a fortune on fish oil supplements.
We do, along with all the other dietary supplements. And one of the things Credible Meds tries to do is to point out, follow the evidence. Go where the evidence indicates you can get benefit and stay away from harm. And I know when we've had our conversation, sometimes I sound like I'm just against every product out there. But there are very good products that work, and we need to take them safely. We're learning now that things that we thought were a shortcut may not be such a shortcut. You know, the original data said that if you eat a Mediterranean diet, you'll live longer. And that is so true.
And it makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's rich in seafood.
Seafood and olive oil, vegetable oils. So, those are good. But, you know, Americans, people in general probably, want a quick fix. And the two things we hate to do is to change our diet from anything we don't like.
So just take fish oil, right? Yeah, the two things, they don't want to change their diet.
And they don't want to exercise.
And they don't want to exercise.
So how can I get a good diet and exercise in a pill?
Yeah.
And that's
so they
where,
turn to these fish oil supplements.
Exactly.
Yeah, and apparently 1 in 10 Americans are taking them.
We spend about $12 billion a year.
$12 billion?
10% of the population are taking fish oil supplements because we think we'll get the benefit of the Mediterranean diet without having to change our diet.
We think it's heart healthy.
Yeah, and the original animal studies indicated, the animals do look better. Their blood vessels and their heart in animals. And then some of the early clinical studies showed that perhaps people have fewer heart attacks. But now, recent paper just came out last week from the Journal of American Medical Association looking at 10 studies, 78,000 people who took fish oil, and they found no benefit whatsoever. And I think it's just time that we wake up and start thinking about these dietary supplements more cautiously, because not only do these cause side effects, they cost a lot of money that you could be spending on things that are good for you.
Well, people do want, you know, they want to eat healthier, and they assumed that getting back to the Mediterranean diet, mm-hmm. that the key component there is the seafood. So then they figured, oh, well, seafood, how about fish oil?
Right. Why not get all that seafood in a pill?
Yeah.
And it's unfortunately, when you do that, you end up with a lot of uncomfortable side effects.
What are some of the side effects of fish oil?
Belching and bad breath, heartburn, nausea, loose stools, rash, and even nosebleeds, because it can affect your clotting. Because these fish oils, if you take enough of them, can actually upset your chemistry.
And I know you've talked about this before, that one of the things that really bothers you about supplements generally is that there doesn't seem to be any kind of regulation or quality control, right?
That's part of it. That's half of it. I guess the other half is people assume that they are regulated and that they are being protected. But Congress has actually prohibited the FDA from protecting us from these compounds, and they let them go unregulated. And the FDA has to go out and find the harm and improve it. As opposed to most medicines, you have to show benefit, and then you can go on the market. So it's if you look at your dietary supplements, you'll see in little bitty font, this product has not been evaluated by the FDA, and that's because Congress won't let them.
So you're playing health roulette.
Yeah, and it also goes on to say that these products have never been shown to have any medical benefit. Why would you take them?
How about the Mediterranean diet? Why don't we summarize that? What would you consider the Mediterranean diet if folks are thinking, well, they want fish?
Yeah,
I think eat fish.
Most people recommend dietitians and nutritionists eating fish 3 times a week, about 6 ounce servings, staying away from a lot of carbohydrates, staying away from red meats, of course. The white meats, pork and chicken, are better. Everything in moderation, or don't overdo it. Don't take a 32-ounce Diet Coke and forget that there's tons of sugar in there. Exercise regularly. Control your blood pressure. Don't smoke. I mean, these are the things that we know can make major differences. The little bit of benefit that could have been obtained from fish oil is swamped by these things that work better.
All right, let's go to the live line, Dr. Woosley. Our friend Jim Kelly would like to join in the conversation. Go ahead, Jim. You're with Dr. Woosley.
Dr. Woosley, one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of social media nonsense and misinformation that seems targeted to actually destroy certain industries. I just want to ask you one question. Is farm-raised tilapia a safe fish to eat?
I know of no, Jim, thanks for your question. I know of no reason that it wouldn't be. I think it's like much of the fish in this country is farm-raised. And I think it's the way it's cared for after it's been harvested, whether it's been refrigerated and transported safely, that's the biggest risk. And I think we always have, again, the FDA looks into that because Congress lets them look into the safety of our food.
And I think Jim may be referring with the tilapia that it comes from offshore and different places in the world. So perhaps that's not being regulated strongly enough. But you have not heard of any
I haven't.
Issues.
And most of our much, I don't know the percentage, but fish comes from all over the world these days.
Yeah.
And you're right, it's not regulated over there. But once it hits our shores, the refrigeration, the plants and facilities that transport it are regulated.
All right. In the remaining minute, where can people find out more about what you're doing at Credible Meds?
Well, crediblemeds.org, AZCert, our parent organization, .org. is our website. As you mentioned, we have a lot of people who go there.
Is it easy to use?
I think it is. We have three portals. We've got about a third of our people who come there are actually practicing doctors, pharmacists. Most are patients who want to use medicine safely, and we can. Visitors can download information about how to take your blood thinner, mm-hmm. how to control your diabetes, how to prevent drug-drug interactions. There's a lot of sites on the internet where you can check for drug-drug interactions, but many of them overwhelm you with more information than you need because it's theoretical information. It's not your information. And what we're working hard on our website is to allow you to put in information about yourself so that you can get the things that mean something to you because of the way you are and what your history, your medical history is. So we think that's personalized medicine. It's precision medicine. And that's what people like the University of Arizona just got a $45 million grant to make medicine precise. And that's the future. And we're part of it. And I'm really proud of our community support that makes us, you know, we're totally funded by charitable contributions. We accept no funding from any commercial organization or anyone that would make a profit off of the information we provide.
CredibleMeds.org. Quickly, a caller wants Dr. Woosley to clarify about Coke and the difference between Diet Coke and Coke.
Oh, good. I probably misspoke about that.
Did you say? Yeah,
I probably said Diet Coke contains sugar, and it doesn't.
It doesn't?
No.
Okay. There you go.
Diet Coke has non-sugar ingredients.
Okay. All right. I tell you, we've got our best editors, Dr. Woosley, are the listeners to the Buckmaster
Thank
Show.
Thank you they for keeping me on my toes.
Yeah, they're listening to every word we utter, and we do appreciate it. Dr. Woosley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Back, it is the Buckmaster Show as we push now toward 11 minutes before 1 o'clock on a rather windy afternoon. I could do without the winds, but well, I'll take the winds if it means tomorrow being a cooler day than it started off to be. This morning was really nice, though, wasn't it? Cooler. Arizona Theater Company production of The Diary of Anne Frank. Pretty much right in the middle of its run here in Tucson at the Temple of Music and Art, located at 330 South Scott Avenue. That run continues until May 12th, and this is being directed by the legendary David Ira Goldstein. He's come back to the Arizona Theater Company and really instrumental in putting all of this together. And with me in studio, two of the cast members, Devin Prokopek. How are you, Devin?
Good, how are you?
From Phoenix originally, but was with the Diary of Anne Frank show up in Rochester?
Yes.
How did you come to be involved with the show? But before you answer, I do want to introduce our other guest. And that is Anna Lentz. Anna, how are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here.
And we will hear about you in a moment. But first, Devin, how'd you get involved with this show?
I actually go to the University of Arizona, and they sent out an audition call for a different role, actually, for the show. And so I went in and auditioned, and I knew David Ira before because I was in Fiddler on the Roof last year. Mm-hmm. I did my audition, and they said, "We'd like you to audition for a different role. Will you please send in a video audition?" And so I had about 24 hours. I sent in a video audition, and I was able to get this role. It was crazy.
And what is the role that you're playing? You're playing Margot Frank.
Yes, I play Margot Frank.
And tell me a little bit about that particular role.
Definitely. So Margot is Anna's sister, and I kind of see in this show that she is almost a foil to Anna, where Anna is more energetic and very outspoken. Margot sort of becomes a second parent to the entire annex, and she's more reserved. She thinks before she speaks. She's just very quiet, but you know that everything she says is important, and she's actually very much an advocate for when she feels there's an injustice in the annex. So even though she has a softer presence, she very much is a big influence in the annex.
And Anna Lentz, you're playing the role of Anne Frank.
I am, yes.
And how is that going for you? I mean, you read, I'm sure, like I read it in school, and most students do.
Yeah.
You had a knowledge of the particular work. How has that helped you as you've plowed into this? Or has it?
Huge question. I've felt it's been very humbling to play Anne Frank. I mean, she is such a figure in society, and specifically in the role of the Holocaust during World War II. It's been very humbling, and I've learned so much from her words. I mean, to be as strong as she was at 13, 14, 15, you know, to think what I was doing at that age comparatively to her, she is just such an inspiring young woman.
And I want to talk a little bit about your background. You also, you'll be graduating very soon from the University of Arizona, and you've got quite a resume. I've got it in front of me. Did the U of A give you a great training?
I actually didn't go to the U of A.
That's Devin.
Okay.
No worries.
Devin, yeah. Did it give you a good training?
Yeah, definitely. I have a BFA in musical theater there. And they've been really helpful with just teaching you about your methodologies, you know, how you want to become a good actor, how you want to do your process. They've been incredibly helpful to me. They have an amazing program, and I highly recommend it.
And Anna Lentz, actually, it's my mistake there because I have it right in front of me, that you actually have your BFA from Rutgers, right?
Yes, the state.
So, mm-hmm. You're from the East Coast.
Yes.
Did you always want to get involved in acting starting as a little girl?
Yeah, I originally wanted to be a ballet dancer. Okay. I promptly didn't get into any ballet schools. So then I became a singer. And then in high school, I went to LaGuardia High School, which is the performing arts high school in New York City. And that's where I realized I wanted to be an actor.
Now, a familiar work like The Diary of Anne Frank, the audience knows going in to the theater pretty much the story. So then it becomes your roles as kind of bringing that story alive. Is that a difficult thing where people know how the story ends and really, you know, they know the narrative? What do you think about that, Anna Lentz?
I think people would be surprised by how surprising I think the ending still is, even if you go in knowing what happens. The play really celebrates life, and you're really following this group of people while they are still living their lives, even under these circumstances. So I think almost like when you watch, you know, Romeo and Juliet, you still have that hope.
Well, of course.
You
yeah.
know, that something else will happen, unfortunately.
Devin, what are some of your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I do think it's the same thing. You know, we have audience members say, you know, I know it's going to happen.
Yeah, they
and you
know
see
the
it
ending.
Happen and it
yeah.
still shocks you
right.
because this isn't a story about dying people. This is a story about people who want so hard to survive, who still see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I know especially with Anna, you can speak on that if you want to, but she has so much hope for humanity. And so I often say it isn't a story so much. It's about the Holocaust and it's about these things that happen, but it's really about people and journeys that they take. So I think this is it's a heavy show to do, and it has a lot of preconceived notions coming in, but it's been a really big honor to get to represent these people and just try to do our best to share their story in the best possible way.
And I think it's a very timely story right now, especially some of the surveys I've seen that the millennial generation, many in the millennials don't even comprehend right now, Anna Lentz, the full impact of the Holocaust. There's still so much misinformation out there.
Absolutely. I mean, the New York Times came
right.
out with that article
mm-hmm.
where almost 45% of people my age don't know anything about
it. That is shocking.
It's shocking to me too, honestly. and I think that just shows how important this doing this play and this story and spreading the words of Anne Frank are, because we should never, ever forget it.
Devin, and you shared with me that this is especially powerful for you because you are Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, when you go out there on stage, you are, it's an emotional thing probably for you every night, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. You know, mm-hmm. as a Jewish person, there mm-hmm. isn't a lot of representation for us mm-hmm. in the world. And so it's powerful to get to share this story that, you know, there aren't as many survivors anymore. And so when there aren't as many people sharing their stories, it turns into almost make-believe where we're like, oh, that happened in the past a long time ago. But it's important to remember that it can't happen again and that this is something that really did happen to these real people. And I know my family was affected by it and touched by it. I know a lot of families were Jewish or non-Jewish. And so it's powerful to me because it's a message that I hope that it sticks with people and that it does not happen again.
Devin, were you always interested in theater? We heard from your friend here, Anna Lentz, that she wanted to be a ballerina. It didn't quite work for her, but, you know, life takes one door closes, as they say, and another door opens, as I'm sure both you ladies have discovered already.
Definitely.
Did you want to get into acting?
Yeah, I actually started acting when I was 5.
Really? As a little kid?
Yeah, I was a munchkin in The Wizard of Oz.
You're kidding.
Over in Phoenix. And I've always known
so
that I wanted
were
to be an actor.
Like children's theater, kind
yes,
of.
Yes. I did community theater most of my life, or school theater. This is my first professional production, which is exciting.
That is exciting.
And
you're actually getting paid for this, so that is
yeah,
exciting.
That's definitely, yeah, you know, right. It's full circle. I can't, like, if you had told 10-year-old me that this was what was going to happen, it would have blown my mind. I've always known this is something I wanted to do.
It's a dream come true. Ladies, thank you very much, and good luck with the remainder of the run of The Diary of Anne Frank. Thank you both.
Thank you for having
much.
Us.
And for ticket information, go to arizonatheater.org, or you can call 622-2823. And again, Temple of Music and Art, The Diary of Anne Frank continues through May 12th. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Coming up this afternoon, we do a lot of local talk here. We do 6 hours a day. That 4 to 6 for the Mike Shaw Show this afternoon. Mike Check, Ray Allen helping Mike out this afternoon. And then Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you 12:04. Our newsmaker interview tomorrow will be with the president of the University of Arizona. Dr. Robbins will be joining us for his quarterly visit to the program. Have a great afternoon and evening.